A day like this, the preaching of the word really takes place primarily in the reading of the word. Palm Sunday is a day where we get an extra helping of the story of Jesus, and it's a way to kick off a whole week where we get to walk the story of Jesus along with him. Today is Palm Sunday, as you can figure with the palms. And it's a day that we get to celebrate a king that nobody wanted. The readings that we have today draw into sharp relief the fact that Jesus was triumphantly welcomed and that he was headed to his death. We're invited to find our place in the shoes of the crowd welcoming him, and in the shoes of those who ran away from him and deserted him. And we need to draw these things into tension to be able to really fully receive King Jesus. So you're going to get a shorter sermon today. Breathe a sigh of relief. Long reading. But I do want to offer a couple of reflections on receiving King Jesus. I want us to look at the cost of the king and the reality of the king. I think we get a glimpse of the cost of King Jesus in this funny little story about the colt. This thing always puzzled me. I always assumed it was Jesus kind of showing off. Like, hey, if you go into the next town, I know this thing's going to happen. It's going to be really cool. That's not what's happening here. The other gospels reference a prophetic fulfillment. That's great for them. That's not what Mark does. Mark highlights the fact that Jesus is making a sovereign, kingly ask. Jesus says, go into the next town, untie a colt, bring it to me. And he makes an ask like this because he knows as king, the expectation is that if your king asks you for something, you give it to your king. And you don't do this out of a sense of just mere duty. You do this out of a sense of joy and honor. The king has need of something that I have. It's an honor to give it to the king. I was trying to think of a good illustration for this. The best thing I could come up with, being a Dallas Cowboys fan myself, is if Troy Aikman came to my house, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, winner of 3 Super Bowl rings, came to my house and said, Michael, I have need of your 2014 Toyota Sienna minivan. And of course, I would say, of course, Mr. Troy Aikman, sir, you may use my 2014 Toyota Sienna minivan. And as he was driving away in my minivan, I would have a sheer sense of joy that Troy Aikman was using my 2014 Toyota Sienna minivan. And I would then go off and tell all of my friends, guess who is using my 2014 Toyota Sienna minivan? Troy Aikman. It's a little bit like that. And the disciples are told, go into the next town. If anyone asks what you're doing, say, the Lord Jesus has need of it. He is your king. And the friends of the owner of the colt, in fact, do question when they just start unwrapping this colt, say, what's the deal? And when the disciples tell them, they get it. And they let this colt go. This thing that actually would have likely been a central part of the livelihood of this person, this really costly colt, they let it go out on loan. The story of the colt reminds us that Jesus is king and he is self-aware of that fact. And he requires sovereignty over our whole lives. And if he asks you for your donkey or your minivan, then we get to give it to him out of joy, an expression of the fact that we give our whole lives over to King Jesus. In one way, Jesus asks nothing of us, because there is nothing that we could give him to buy our way into citizenship, into his kingdom. And yet he asks absolutely everything of us. It reminds me of a story of one bishop. This is the bishop of Cape Town, South Africa. This is many years ago. He had done a lot of studying. He was a very smart guy, worked his way up the ladder in the church, and he became a bishop. He even had this little prayer chapel on his plot of land where he lived. But he did not know what that prayer chapel looked like on the inside because he never prayed. he actually did not believe in Jesus. It happens. And yet, through a series of events, one day, he was just bowled over by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in an instant, he believed. The first thing the Spirit sent him to do was to go into that chapel and pray. And he prayed a prayer like this. He said, "Lord, I give you my mind. All the thoughts that I have, my intellect, everything that I use my mind for, Lord, I give it to you to do with as you see fit. Lord, I give you my eyes, everything that I see, everything that I choose to see, everything I don't want to see, but I do, I give them to you to lead me as you see fit. Lord, I give you my mouth, the words that I say, the words that I hold back from saying. Lead me as you see fit." And he went through every single part of his body and offered it afresh to the Lord. This was his way of giving his whole life to the Lord. This bishop understood this kingly call on him. We give everything to King Jesus. He also understood something else, that we can expect a sense of freedom from King Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus picks this festival, the Passover festival, to announce his kingship. You'll remember Jesus, you know, all through his ministry, he kept saying, "Don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody. I know I just healed you. Don't go and tell anybody." But this day, he throws open the doors. He chooses the Passover festival to tell people. Why? Because he's a Passover king. Remember from a couple weeks ago, some of the themes of Passover that are in the air. Can we recall what some of them are? I'm just going to assume you're a little sleepy this morning. Yes, freedom, deliverance, new exodus. These are the themes that Jesus chooses to mark the nature of his kingship. And Jesus intentionally steps right into the middle of this week-long festival that was actually kind of dangerous. I mean, imagine if Germany had won World War II. They actually still owned America, and yet every year we stubbornly celebrated July 4th, hoping that things would change. That's just like what's happening here. The Jews were under the boot of the Roman government, and yet still they celebrated this festival where tons of folks would come into this tiny city and just pray and long for freedom, for new exodus from their situation. This is why spontaneous praise breaks out. Cloaks, palm branches. I never quite understood this scene that seemed a little strange, but it's this frothy situation already. Jesus steps right into the middle of it because he is a Passover king. He brings us freedom as we give to him every corner of our hearts and our lives. I think we can receive the challenge of this story. The crowd may not have gotten everything right with Jesus, and we'll see that in just a moment. They didn't have every detail of who he was or his kingship down, but that's not the point, actually. They looked at Jesus, they hailed him as a king who could bring freedom to them. So I want to ask you to reflect, especially this week, is there one area of your life right now that you are longing to feel a fresh wave of freedom? That's a costly ask, I know. It's hard, especially if it's something we've been carrying for a long time. But Passover King Jesus invites us to ask and to even give over to him our biggest disappointments. So that's the cost of the king. The reality of the king we also have to receive. Yes, Jesus is the king that they had been waiting for. He is the king that we have been waiting for. And yet he was the king that nobody wanted. We will walk this week through the many ways that Jesus was deserted. Maundy Thursday ends with a bare altar, spoiler alert, to represent the fact that everybody leaves him. On the cross, he is utterly alone. He is the king that nobody in the end wanted. Nobody was ready to welcome this kind of a king. One thing that I've learned in marriage is one of the most difficult parts about marriage is expectations that you bring into it. Mismatched expectations can be especially devastating. How to spend money, roles in the home, food preferences. Board games. Do you play for a pleasant experience or do you play for cutthroat winning of the board game? Will our family's table wine be $3 Chuck or the $6 Coastal brand, which yields exponentially better value for your purchase and is much better flavored? These things could hypothetically escalate quickly. In these moments, we experience a sense of dysphoria between the person who is standing in front of us and the spouse that we think they should be. And we do this all the time outside of marriage, too. We lay our own beliefs, our own values, our preferences, our desires, we lay them over other people. And when they don't live up to our values and desires, we abandon them, or worse, oftentimes we other them, right? We treat them as alien to us. Jesus had a thick layer of expectation put on him. This was the people who was looking for Passover liberation. They were looking primarily for a military conquest of Rome by this point, but that's not what Jesus was bringing. They were waiting centuries under the boot of another nation. And Jesus walks into this expectation knowing that though he is king, he will disappoint them, even if his rule is bigger than they could have ever imagined. Just as the reality of my wife is greater than the box that I try to put her in, just as the reality of your boss is different than what you hoped for, and just like the reality of your friend might actually invite them to challenge you when you expect them to agree with you, the actual kingship of Jesus, the actual rescue of Jesus, was different and larger than they could have ever imagined, and they couldn't take it. And he was left alone. Brothers and sisters, so it remains for us today. The church pastors us through these stories this morning by holding them in sharp relief so that we can recognize our many projections that we put on Jesus. Maybe we're all happy to recognize his teaching on loving one another, but we bristle when he says, forgive somebody 70 times seven. Maybe we're ready to receive his teaching on love and his teaching against religiosity. We're not quite ready to hear his call to regularly spend time in prayer with the Father. Maybe we love how he invites us into Sabbath and how he heals people and all the wisdom that he has to teach us. But we kind of distance ourselves from his claims on sexuality or divorce or greed. But we have to accept the Jesus as he comes to us because he is king and he is good. The good news is Jesus still went to the cross even though he was abandoned. He died for those people who left him. And that's the Palm Sunday invitation this morning, is to ask, where do we tend to avoid uncomfortable realities about who Jesus is? Where do we layer him with a thick sense of expectation that's actually not the reality of this king? And so this morning, I want to leave us with an image. I would love for you this week to carry your palm with you. As they welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, they laid down their palms for him. And in this way, they said, enter in, come closer. They put their cloaks down on the ground, this costly thing that you would never do for anybody except the king who has total rule over your life. So take your palms this week. What's the area you need Jesus to move closer to you through? And lay that down in front of him. Maybe for somebody in here, you need to accept him for the first time. You haven't actually made a path for him to enter in. I invite you to remember that he is king. And not only that, but like I pray with my boys so often, Jesus is here, he is good, and he is strong. Take your palms, lay them down, invite Jesus further in.